I have just pulled a fast one. The Inca history above is as contemporary scholars understand it. They disagree on which social factors to emphasize and on how much weight to assign individual Spanish chronicles, but the outline seems not in serious dispute. The same is not true of my rendering of Pizarro's conquest. I just presented what is more or less the account current when Dobbins arrived in Peru. In his reading, though, he discovered a hole in this version of events, a factor so critical that it drastically changed Dobbins's view of Native America. Why did the Inca lose? The usual answer is that Pizarro had two advantages: steel, swords and armor, rifles and cannons, and horses. The Indians had no steel weapons and no animals to ride. Llamas are too small. They also lacked the wheel and the arch. With such inferior technology, Tawantinsuyu had no chance. What could the Inca offer against this armory? Asked John Hemming, the conquest historian. They were still fighting in the Bronze Age. The Inca kept fighting after Atahualpa's death. But even though they outnumbered the Europeans by as much as 100-1, they always lost. No amount of heroism or discipline by an Inca army, Hemming wrote, could match the military superiority of the Spaniards. But just as guns did not determine the outcome of conflict in New England, steel was not the decisive factor in Peru. True, anthropologists have long marveled that Andean societies did not make steel. Iron is plentiful in the mountains, yet the Inca used metal for almost nothing useful. In the late 1960s, Heather Lechtman, an archaeologist at the MIT Center for Materials Research in Archaeology and Ethnology, suggested to an eminent scholar of Andean prehistory that we take a serious and careful look at Andean metallurgy. He responded, "But there wasn't any." Lechtman went and looked anyway. She discovered that Inca metallurgy was, in fact, as refined as European metallurgy, but that it had such different goals that academic experts had not even recognized it. According to Lechtman, Europeans sought to optimize metals' hardness, strength, toughness, and sharpness. The Inca, by contrast, valued plasticity, malleability, and toughness. Europeans used metal for tools. Andean societies primarily used it as a token of wealth, power, and community affiliation. European metalworkers tended to create metal objects by pouring molten alloys into shaped molds. Such foundries were not unknown to the Inca, but Andean societies vastly preferred to hammer metal into thin sheets, form the sheets around molds, and solder the results. The results were remarkable by any standard. One delicate bust that Lechtman analyzed was less than an inch tall, but made of 22 separate gold plates painstakingly joined. If a piece of jewelry or a building ornament was, as the Inca desired, to proclaim its owner's status, it needed to shine. Luminous gold and silver were thus preferable to dull iron. Because pure gold and silver are too soft to hold their shape, Andean metalworkers mixed them with other metals, usually copper. This strengthened the metal, but turned it an ugly pinkish copper color. To create a lustrous gold surface, Inca smiths heated the copper-gold alloy, which increases the rate at which the copper atoms on the surface combine with oxygen atoms in the air. It makes the metal corrode faster. Then they pounded the hot metal with mallets, making the corrosion flake off the outside. By repeating this process many times, they removed the copper atoms from the surface of the metal, creating a thin veneer of almost pure gold that overlay the copper-gold alloy in the middle. Ultimately, the Inca ended up with strong sheets of metal that glittered in the sun. Andean cultures did make tools, of course, but rather than making them out of steel, they preferred fiber. The choice is less odd than it may seem. Mechanical engineering depends on two main forces, compression and tension. Both are employed in European technology, but the former is more common. The arch is a classic example of compression. By contrast, tension was the Inca way. Textiles are held together by tension, William Conklin, a research associate at the Textile Museum in Washington, D.C., told me. and they exploited that tension with amazing inventiveness and precision.